KBBI's Morning News is sponsored by the Homer Foundation, connecting generosity to community need on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. Since 1991, the foundation has provided more than $6 million in local grants and scholarships, helping students pursue education and training that strengthen our communities. Every scholarship tells a story and is an opportunity created by donors who care about the future. Join us and consider how your gift today or planned gift for tomorrow can make a lasting difference. The Homer Foundation, celebrating 35 years of generosity, scholarships, and community.
Today is Thursday, March 19th, 2026. I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Morning News. And first up, a small group of artists from across the country have joined in Homer for 2 weeks of work together to share their mutual concern for climate and the planet through artwork. The group met with KBBI's Emily Springer on Tuesday to share their thoughts on the organization and what their plans in Homer are over the next few weeks.
As local artist Charlene Klein explains, the Climate Artists Collective formed online in the spring of 2025 through NetBurk, a national online community where visual artists connect, critique each other's work, and share professional resources. Artist Caroline Anderson put out a call for a small group interested in addressing climate change through art, and 5 women responded. Caroline Anderson of Rhode Island, Rebecca Carlton of Wisconsin, Rosemary Gleiser of Columbia, New York, Elaine Miller of Chicago, and Charlene Klein of Homer. The group met on Tuesday to share a little bit about their passion related to the theme of climate change and how it influenced the beginning of their artist group. Caroline Anderson of Rhode Island shared these thoughts.
Climate change, to me, is the biggest, most important topic, the largest characteristic of the time we live in and the time our children and our grandchildren are going to live in. It's not going to go away. And I thought, gee, there has to be other people who feel the same way. And creating community, that's what you're trying to do. Who else feels the same way as I do? Who else thinks the same way I do? So that's why I thought it was important to start the group.
Elaine Miller contributed as well.
Why am I doing this? And it doesn't mean anything, and I want it to address what really matters to me, which is the planet. You know, and so I'm still trying to work out how can I make art when everything's collapsing around me. And so somehow we're working together to create, you know, a community in the arts. I feel everyone is starting to wake up and realizing what's happening.
One of the first things they noticed as a group is that they are all from and live in coastal communities across the country. To show this, they created a map of photographs from each hometown and displayed it on the wall of Homer's Kenai Peninsula College. The images are not just of the pristine environments from each location, but also show signs of industry and include poetry to describe each place. The Homer residency eventually grew into 2 community-centered projects. Coastal Contrasts focuses on printmaking workshops using upcycled materials, and the workshops will take place at Homer's Kachemak Bay campus. Sacredness of Place will include an artist talk at the Pratt Museum, a one-day Raku pit fire event that will take place at Bishop's Beach, and an installation opening of the pieces at the Pratt. The Raku pieces are being constructed locally with contributions from Chapman's 5th grade and the Paul Banks 1st grade. The Raku feature has also had assistance from Olivia Philpott, arts and ceramics teacher at Homer High School, and Winter Marshall Allen, special education teacher. Klein noted some additional pieces that will be contributed from the community.
And then we also have the K Bay Clay community. They're making work as well. And then there's some random other professional artists making work. And then, so they're making all this work, and then we bisque fire it. Everyone's bisque firing it. And then they're going to take tin foil and colorants, natural, and some chemical. The kids aren't doing the chemical part, the young kids. And then they're going to wrap it, and then we're going to dig this big pit at the beach and then fire it and then hang it.
A final feature of the residency of importance to the artist is all of the various ways they have reached out to engage with the community and hear the voice of the community in relation to the concept of climate change. This is why they're including a number of interactive opportunities in addition to the arts workshops. Artists Miller and Rosemary shared these details on the importance of engaging additional voices when working in a field, arts, that tends to be isolated.
I mean, you go in your studio, you work, you're by yourself, your ideas have to come through, you don't ask other people for permission to do the work that you do, and you just do it because you know that you have to do it. I mean, at least that's how I feel.
Yes, but it's they have the 50% of the work stays there. But if it doesn't reach out the people, doesn't reach any viewer, doesn't reach any public, and the message is not out there.
Upcoming events with the Climate Artists Collective include classes at KPC, with registration available through the KPC website. Rebecca Carlton's Artist Talk at the Pratt Museum, which will take place Thursday, March 19th at 6 p.m. The Climate Change Potlucks in the KPC Commons on March 23rd, starting at 5:30. The Raku Clay Fire Pit at Bishop's Beach, which will take place on Thursday, March 26th. And the Raku Installation and Opening at the Pratt on March 28th. Reporting from Homer, this is Emily Springer.
The United States Senate Tuesday narrowly agreed to take up a voting bill that President Trump says is essential for the survival of the country, and opponents say will disenfranchise millions of Americans. Senator Lisa Murkowski was the only Republican who voted not to open debate on the Save America Act. It would require voters to show photo ID at the polls and provide proof of citizenship to register. Murkowski says the devil is in the details.
People around the country are looking at this and saying this should be a no-brainer. Of course, U.S. citizens should be the ones that have the right to vote. Of course, it is not unreasonable to require voter ID. What's the problem here? But you need to not be afraid to just peel this back and look at the implementation.
Murkowski has a long list of items in the bill that she says would make it harder for Alaskans to cast a ballot. She cites, among other things, the requirement that new registrants present citizenship documents to an elections official in person. That, she says, might require an 18-year-old who lives in Unalaska to spend more than $1,000 on an airplane ticket, and hopefully she has an official copy of her birth certificate in hand.
But if she doesn't, it's a 2-month wait right now at Vital Statistics to get the certified documents that you need.
An amendment Trump is pressing for would eliminate voting by mail, except for people who are ill, away on military assignment, or a few other circumstances. More than 50,000 Alaskans voted by mail in the last general election. Proponents of the bill can think of reasonable solutions for Alaska. Former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, who served in the first Trump administration, says for new registrations, the state would send an elections official to the roughly 200 Alaska communities that are off the road system and don't have a division of elections office.
If you don't want citizens to have to come to the election officials, then election officials need to go to the citizens.
The state would need to get moving quickly. The SAVE Act would stiffen voter registration requirements immediately after the president signs it, but it's not clear he'll have that chance. Just 51 senators voted Tuesday to start debate. That's far short of the 60 votes it would take to overcome a filibuster. And that's it for this morning's news. You are listening to KBBI AM 890 in Homer, 88.1 FM in Seward through translator K201AO, and online at kbbi.org. News tips and story ideas can be emailed to news@kbbi.org. This morning on KBBI, join us for Radio Story Time with youth librarian Cinda for stories about basketball. That's this morning at 10 a.m. here on KBBI. Then on Thursday at 11 a.m., tune in for Story Borealis, the program dedicated to the art of oral storytelling with host Ingrid Nixon. We explore what's in a name. That's this Thursday at 11 a.m. on KBBI. Thanks for listening, and good morning.